I am very happy now to welcome to the Radio Cafe Marielle Nanasi. She is Executive Director of New Energy Economy, and Toner Mitchell, who is President of the Trutras Chapter of Trout Unlimited. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you.
Good morning.
So this is a beautiful day. We're actually a couple days late in doing this, but I was out last week, and we have a wonderful piece of news, which I hope everybody's heard by now, which is that President Obama has designated Rio Grande del Norte National Monument as a basically gift to New Mexico. What happened? What area are we talking about, first of all?
We're talking about 240,000 acres beginning roughly around Pilar and with various inholdings throughout the stretch north of there all the way to the Colorado border.
And so what is this land like at this right now?
Right now, it's the sage is starting to get green, and the grass is starting to get green. We're getting a little bit of melt off, which is making some of that grass come out. And it's windy, of course, but that's northern New Mexico, as you know.
Is this a pristine area, or is this an area that needs some environmental restoration?
It's got a little bit of both. It's not necessarily pristine. It shows historical impacts of land use from very traditional land users from way back in history. So that's kind of a human artifact that's part of this place, and it's a beautiful part of this place. There is a little bit of land restoration that's gone on in terms of restoring sage land to grass, stuff like that. But generally, it's pristine, such as it is.
What kind of activities are happening there? Does anybody live there? Is it recreation land, fishing land?
Fishing, hunting, wood gathering, herb gathering, grazing. I think spiritual solace, which I think cannot be discounted. It's a very beautiful place, and it's powerful that way, and people need it for that.
Yeah, I was thinking of one thing in particular, is that when as we've been working on this for a long time now, we've just collected these stories, these real stories from people who have had celebrations there. I met a Native American woman who said, my grandparents, they got married at the Rio Grande del Norte. And people go there for, I was actually part of a wedding that was celebrated on the water, on the Rio Grande itself. So that was pretty exceptional. We all went out on canoes, and I think that there are lots of markers in life. I know even my own son, when he graduated from high school, took his best friend and said, I want to take you to the most beautiful place that I've ever been to and sleep under the stars. And so it's that.
And that's where it was?
Yeah, it was. It was on the Mesa up above the Rio Grande. And I think it has that power for people. People have talked about polishing their favorite pots with river stones. And just I think it's exactly what Toner said. It's a place of solace and magnificence.
Tell us about the wildlife in this area.
We have bighorn sheep, pronghorn antelope, elk, deer, mule deer, mountain lions, river otters. We have some kind of rogue cows that I've seen there since I was a young boy. Every now and then I'd go up and fish and I'd run into a kind of ornery bull here and there. We have brown trout, rainbow trout. We're trying to reestablish cutthroat trout in there, which is the state fish of New Mexico. Tons of wildlife, just tons. Great birds of prey.
What does it mean economically for the Rio Grande del Norte to be now a national monument? I mean, I'm sure that in this, and you can talk about the whole process of making this happen, but was there opposition to this monument who wanted to do other kinds of economic development there?
Not really, as far as we knew. There, every now and then there would be a whisper of opposition, but we could always refute it with the power of what the economics were really telling us.
Which is
that the monument would result in quite a few millions of dollars more in the local economy and some really nice stable jobs too. Having to deal with the tourist industry, you're going to get hotel beds filled. I'm a fishing guide, so the fishing industry is going to benefit. I think big job producers like Taos Ski Valley, that they are under increasing pressure to keep their operations profitable, I think it brings a lot of people to their summer operations as well.
And you're talking about whitewater rafting and mm-hmm. climbing and horseback riding and all sorts of outdoor recreation activities.
Ballooning, even. Ballooning's yeah. very popular.
Yeah, I went hot air ballooning in the Rio Grande.
Very interesting. Now, one of the things that you talked about a moment ago is restoration of areas to grassland. I think a lot of people don't know that New Mexico was a huge grassland before, well, we started ruining it. You can restore land that has other species on it now and actually make it grassland again?
Yeah, I don't think anyone would try to attempt to restore it to its original state, but if we're getting a little more grass there, a little more diversity in the habitat, I think it can only help. It helps the grazers, certainly, and it helps wild grazers like elk and antelope and things like that. And it also helps the land hold water a little better
right.
if we vegetate more of the surfaces. Sagebrush often does not have vegetation between plants, and so you have a lot of bare soil there, a lot of erosion. So it's generally a good idea to rehab some of it.
We're talking to Toner Mitchell and Mariel Nanasi about the Rio Grande del Norte National Monument. Now, tell us some about the process of what it took to make this area designated a national monument.
Well, for years, there have been bills in Congress to try to designate this a permanently protected area. However, this last Congress was the very first Congress that didn't designate any wildlands at all, and in tens of years, I mean at least 50 or 60 years, and so then President Obama, under the Antiquities Act, which has been used by both Republican and Democratic presidents, designated five national monuments last week, and the Rio Grande del Norte was the largest of them all. And it's really just a super celebration for New Mexico on our centennial year, but particularly because the one unifying force in New Mexico is love of place, a love of nature. And so whether you are a newcomer or a Native American who's lived here for hundreds of generations, the awe that people feel when you see the rainbow or you see a river otter in the water or, you know, just the kinds of beautiful walking rain that you see out on the mesa where you have the big sky. That's the kind of love that people have, and that's why there was so much support for this. I don't think that I've ever worked on any campaign ever that had no opposition, and that was a remarkable feeling and really fun to do. And really, this coalition, I have to just say, it was a coalition of a lot of different organizations, and that was really nice to see. People sort of lent their talents to this struggle to weigh in and really finally get President Obama to listen to us, the people. So the representatives were out there working it, and they had the real backing, the backing of the people.
So to get national monument status, it's an interesting process, because on the one hand, as you just said, Mariel, you have no opposition. There's nobody working against it. And on the other hand, you still have to get the attention of the President of the United States. A lot of different organizations were involved in making that happen.
There really were so many committed organizations. I would like to just highlight a couple, specifically New Mexico Wilderness Alliance and the Wilderness Society, and I think Trout Unlimited, and there were just you know, organizations with real on-the-ground support that came to the fore and had people who were spokespeople who went out and did work, whether it was collecting signatures or bringing resolutions to the Taos County, passed a resolution. The Santa Fe City Council passed a resolution unanimously, overwhelmingly. I mean, that's the kind of real support. And I don't know who else you wanted to give a shout out to, but it was really the depth of engagement that was sincere and powerful in this movement.
Yeah, I don't know so much that it was that I need to shout out to anybody, but what I learned from and appreciated through this whole process is pretty much not a ball was dropped. We did have opposition to this in the form of, unfortunately, a Republican Congress that was absolutely intransigent in Washington. So we had to take another approach. Nobody preferred Obama to have to do this, but it was our only way. And the best way to do that was to gather unanimous support and earn the support. And so we had a lot of people on the ground, like Marielle was saying, talking to councils, to the Taos Pueblo, to anybody who might have a separate opinion. We actually were digging very hard for opposition so that we could make the case. And the case was just so airtight that you know, we ended up not having opposition, but having people on the ground at every step of the way, gathering businesses up, talking to, you know, backcountry hunters and anglers were instrumental, New Mexico Wildlife Federation. We, Trout Unlimited, with those guys, we were working on the sportsmen, making sure the sportsmen were on board. We had people making sure that grazers were on board. We had people making sure businesses, tribes, like I said. So it was a very beautiful thing to watch.
So now we have a national monument, Rio Grande del Norte National Monument, and for more information, people can go to riograndedelnorte.org, or better yet, they can get on their car or bike and take a trip and enjoy this beautiful part of northern New Mexico.
Or white water raft.
White water raft.
That's how I would do it. I'd do it outdoors.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Marielle Nanasi is Executive Director of New Energy Economy. Toner Mitchell is President of the Truchas Chapter of Trout Unlimited. Thank you both so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.